Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And life-giving God, speak in this place, in the calm of our minds, to the longing in our hearts. Amen. The times were hard. The government, a huge bureaucracy that provided all manner of important things like roads, military support, and the justice system, was hopelessly out of touch with the people. And the religious establishment wasn't much better. So focused on preserving what was, it had little or no vision as to what might be. When prophets spoke out, they were criticized, vilified, or punished, especially if they called into question any decisions made by the temple authorities. Voices of hope did arise, but just as quickly fell as negative comments circulated about the character of the speaker, their ability to deliver, or alleged transgressions from their past. That was Matthew's community, but it could be anywhere in North America today. The pervasive apathy of our age, the sense of entitlement that fosters a cult of self, along with the hand-wringing that has us resigned to thinking that there are no meaningful answers to the escalating social evils of poverty, gratuitous violence, addiction, and homelessness, in turn fueling an insidious lack of hope, of peace, and most certainly of joy. Matthew disrupts our reverie, hauling us back to the realities of the world outside of our doors, saying, "Jesus charges you to live, move, and have your being as you are meant, which, if you really are walking the talk, will not be as the prevailing culture does." Our Lord certainly didn't meet the expectations of the marketplace of his time, because he was and still is about something radically different. As we know full well, walking out of step with the establishment can be dangerous. Think about those whose lives and passion changed our world in meaningful ways. Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Mother Teresa, Dorothy Day, Oscar Romero, Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, Malala, and so many others. Yet in some ways, doing so can actually feed the apathy of our age, for how many of us will ever be another King, Mother Teresa, or Tutu, let alone walk in their footsteps? Such is the thinking of the so-called wise and intelligent to whom Jesus refers. It is what it is, so why even bother to try and make a difference with the extent of seemingly insurmountable humanitarian, economic, and environmental challenges of our time? As again Jesus sighs, "Are ye of little faith?" And yet the little ones, as Matthew terms them, are eager to try. While not literally children, they have a childlike hunger to learn more and the refreshing courage to give it a go. These fledgling followers in faith are not naive. They are well aware of the pain and challenges of the worlds around them. They may not have starved, but they've known hunger. They may not be sick, but they walk alongside those who are. And they may not have been imprisoned, but they know how easily they could be, given the track record of their Roman oppressors when it came to dealing with any questioning of Caesar's lordship. I'm rather fond of the story about a priest waiting in line at the pearly gates. Ahead of him is a colourful individual wearing a Grateful Dead shirt, chains, boots, and mirrored shades. St. Peter smiles. "Good evening, your details please, so that I can check the entrance list and see whether or not I am to admit you to the kingdom of heaven." The man replies, "I'm Jack, a newly retired cabbie from Toronto." St. Peter consults his list, nods, and hands him a silk robe and golden staff, saying, "Welcome to the kingdom." Next, it's our priest's turn. He stands shoulders squared, saying proudly, "Father, go lightly. Rector of St. Flavia's in the Swamp, Victoria, these past 43 years. St. Peter consults his list, nods, and hands him a cotton robe and a wooden staff, saying, "Welcome to the kingdom." "Just a minute," protests our good father. "How come the taxi driver got silk and gold, and you're giving me cotton and wood?" "Ah, well," replies St. Peter, "up here we can only go on track record. When you preached, people slept. When he drove, they prayed." Faith. Faith. Jesus put it in a wonderfully heartwarming context. "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Yes, there are many problems in your own and the worlds around you, but remember, I am with you always." Even though we have been steeped in these comfortable words, I'm the first to admit that it is hard not to become weighed down by the heart-stopping levels of violence, hardship, loss, and pain we see at home and around the world. Yet our Christian faith does have a way of drawing us into deeper understanding of just how fully, how unconditionally we are cherished through the literally awesome gifts of God's love, God's grace, God's justice, and God's peace. Some of you may remember Samantha Smith from Maine. When she was 10, she woke one morning wondering if it was going to be the Earth's last day. She had just read about the arms race and figured it made no sense. So she decided to do something about it. She wrote to Yuri Andropov saying, "I'm worried about Russia and the United States getting into a nuclear war. Please tell me how we can stop that happening, because God made the world for us to live together in peace and not to fight." To everyone's surprise, the Soviet leader answered her letter, inviting her to Russia to see things for herself. She met him and a raft of kids her own age, and to everyone's delight, they all got along very well. When she returned home, Samantha was adamant, "If we can be friends by getting to know each other better, then what are our two countries arguing about? Nothing could be more important than stopping a nuclear war." There's a profound wisdom here. We have so many problems, issues, and concerns, and so little peace, let alone rest. In the early days of automobiles, it was common to find watering holes, so to speak, at the brow of a long hill. On the old Island Highway, there's a restaurant still located at the top of the longest grade between Nanaimo and Victoria. It wasn't built for the view, but for the convenience of motorists who needed to stop and let their overheated radiators cool down. That is one of the primary functions of worship, a time of rest, reflection, and refreshment, when we can let our overheated radiators cool down, set aside our cares, even for a little while, and have our batteries recharged, our hearts nurtured, and our spirits lifted. When Jesus spoke of burdens and coming to him, he was most certainly talking about the weight of weariness, anxiety, and responsibility that we know all too well, and of the burdens imposed by the Pharisees and scribes of our own age. He openly rejected the man-made laws constructed by the so-called God-fearing leadership of his day, hundreds of rules and regulations that had taken on a life of their own. He ate and drank while others fasted, and did so with great relish amongst table companions who were considered well beyond the pale. He healed, plucked grain, and fed his disciples on the Sabbath, while others looked on in disapproval, and rejoiced in his relationship with the one he called Abba, Father. The same ever-present Abba Creator, who charges us in our time to be active bridge builders and peacemakers, loving, caring, doers of the word. Because as an insightful theologian once put it, the heart, not the head, is the home of the gospel. Amen.